This is Aspire, Arch Street Public Radio, broadcasting interviews from our Innovate podcast series.
Jerome Ganon-Voyer is an IT professional by trade who is passionate about using technology to help nonprofits and cause-based organizations scale their impact. He is co-founder of Cambio & Company, a brand on a mission to share the beauty of Filipino craftsmanship with the world. Cambio & Company provide a platform for the most innovative and socially impactful Filipino brands to grow by showcasing their stories and products, all designed and handcrafted in the Philippines by talented Filipino artisans. Jerome is also co-founder of ChooseSocial.ph, the go-to resource to discover the social enterprise scene in the Philippines. Here's your host, Philip Thomas.
So, Jerome, welcome to Innovate Podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today.
So Jerome, let's start from the beginning. What was it that led you? I was told that you had some volunteer experiences, but really curious to get to the history of how you, Jerome, got involved in what you're doing. So what led you to move towards social entrepreneurship?
I would say in terms of motivation and kind of roots of it is in the university, I was involved in a student organization, student nonprofit called ISEC. It is a nonprofit, but in a way, what I realized later, it's actually a social enterprise. And the goal of ISEC is just to run an internship program as a business. So you send people abroad, you get people from abroad to come to your home country. It's an internship program managed by students, but really the goal, the social aspect of it is it helps you to develop leadership as a young person. So that was my initial kind of interaction with the concept of social business. And that all came from that moment. Yeah.
Now, I was reading a bit of your bio, and apparently you did some time in the corporate world. What made you take the leap from the corporate world into social enterprise? And was there anything about the corporate world that helped you plan for your time in social enterprise?
So personally, I come from an IT background. I'm a computer engineer by trade. So for me, after my experience in ISEC and university, you know, I started working in a corporate setting, using my IT skills. There's always like experience in terms of knowledge that I've learned in the corporate world, but for me, it was more learning about what I didn't want to do more than anything. I gradually transitioned like first from, you know, the corporate world into more like freelancing, kind of running my own little business of freelancer doing IT work. But then that eventually what led as well later then to create our business. So there is a relationship, but it was more in the sense of what I didn't want to continue, and that led me into my business later. Yeah.
So as you go into the social enterprise world, obviously here you are a young man from Canada, and suddenly you come to get involved in the Philippines. So how did that happen? I mean, that sounds like, you know, frankly, it's several miles away. But what was it that kind of got you into working in the Philippines, and why specifically the Philippines?
So, I mean, a big part of it is through my partner. So my business partner is also my life partner. Mm-hmm. And we ended up traveling. She's of Filipino origins. She's been raised in Toronto, but we've traveled to Philippines, and it was just to visit family. Her family, and that was quite a unique experience, because for her it was the first time in 20 years in the Philippines. And as we got there, we just started getting very interested about what was happening in the country, socially, you know, all type of social problems, but also like all type of dynamic things happening, like a lot of social business. We started learning about all those social enterprises that were kind of even famous in the country, and that were I wouldn't say entirely mainstream, but they were quite famous. So it was more at first we just travel in the country, realize it was actually a cool country. There was actually cool things happening there. And we started doing research. We were just curious. We started doing research coming back to Canada, and we Google, and we're like, oh, there's so much happening with social enterprise in Philippines. And then our first step, I would say, was to create another website called Choose Social, which was a website kind of featuring the social enterprise from Philippines. So it wasn't a business. It was just a pure passion project. And that's ultimately why we chose Philippines, is we're just very passionate about what was happening there. And we're just impressed, really.
So here you are, you know, you said your partner goes back to the Philippines after, you said, about 20 years. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So she's originally a Filipina, and she goes back. What was the reason that made y'all go back, you know, in the first place?
You know, at first I would say it was just tourism, family, but then I would say what kind of kept us going after is it was just a desire to learn more. And it's just as well because we both were involved in ISEC, we were both involved into that social enterprise in the past. So that's why we were also curious to know what was happening in that country, and that led us to do a lot more research. Yeah.
So here you are in the Philippines, the two of you, and somewhere along the way you're meeting people, right? And not just family. And is that the genesis of how your entire, you know, the new path that we both chose, is that how it all got started? And what was it about the businesses that you met or interacted with that made you want to do what you're doing with the company that, you know, you talked about, which is True Social?
So I would say at first, no, we didn't meet people from there at first, working on those social enterprise. Like at first, I guess we're people that like to research a lot. And it was just through internet research kind of after, as we were back in Canada, that we started learning more and more. We did get more and more passionate because we ended up traveling again and again to Philippines and meet those people. But at first it was just pure curiosity and research that we stumble upon this world of social enterprise there.
Now, what was there something about what you stumbled into with the social enterprise that kind of tugged at your heartstrings, or maybe, you know, your conscience or your business leanings? What was it about what you saw that kind of made you want to go into this world?
I was truly impressed. The reason I was impressed is because, I mean, I'm an engineer by trade, and I always look at solutions that scale in a way, and things that can grow big. And, you know, we've all heard of, you know, small business and then like small social enterprise, and they do great things, but they stay small. What I saw in Philippines is social business that had grown and scaled to the point that their products were in the main supermarkets. Oh. They were in the malls. They were on TV. And essentially, that's something that really impressed me, is it looks like they were getting momentum in a way that I haven't seen anywhere else. I think the country has a lot of unique combination of things happening. For example, you know, a lack of trust in government. There's big social problems with poverty. There's a strong desire to help within the country. And there's not much of international aid type of industry in the same way that you would see in Africa. So what we realize is there's young people, young entrepreneurs, people in the country that kind of took it upon themselves to fix those, or try to fix those social problems, those poverty problems, by creating those social business. And I think it's because this country is so unique because of all those combination They work so hard, but they've actually achieved scale and achieved great success creating those social enterprises. Yeah.
Now, when you talk about scale, help our listeners understand what you mean by achieving scale. What does a company have to do to meet your criteria or Cambio's criteria, Cambio Markets criteria for achieving scale?
Yeah. For me, it's when, you know, once you start reaching, you know, hundreds of people in number of people you impact, or even in the thousands, mm-hmm. That's I find is when you're starting to reach really great success. There's a company called Human Nature in Philippines, and they sell cosmetic and those type of products, but they're being sold in all the supermarket. They're competing with Procter and Gamble. But they have great employees, like strong social programs. And there's another thing called the Enchanted Farm, which is kind of an ecosystem, like a hub for social enterprise, mm-hmm. Related to farming, so food businesses. And this is kind of it's like a little Silicon Valley of social enterprise in the heart of Philippines. And there's a lot of collaboration between those businesses. And again, like, you can count in hundreds and thousands of people who they impact. That's, I would say, my criteria. Yeah.
Now, one of the things that is a criteria for you is that these businesses are ethical businesses. Now, understandably, around the world, that could mean different things to different people. Would you please help us understand what that means for you, and what is the process by which you go about selecting not only who is a ethical business, but obviously the products have to be good. And of course, as you said earlier, it has to be at scale.
So the criteria. So for us, we look at the artisan first, the people making the product. So there's, you know, that's your first thing is, are the artisans being fairly compensated, treated well, and are they objectively, you know, getting a good living out of making their craft? That's first and foremost, that's what we're looking for. But there's a lot of other criterias, obviously, like, you know, we're looking at the environmental impact. Do they source their material locally? And even like within the social enterprise itself, like, do they pay their employee well? And like scale in the sense that they need to be able to grow. So if we're growing, they need to be able to produce more. But really, what we do is we do a lot of research first, but we also talk with the founder, trying to understand their motivation. And we go there once a year. So even though we've done our research, we've done a lot of verification on our own, we like to go and visit communities, visit the people that make the products, and, you know, interview and ask questions, because there's really nothing like being on the ground to discover. Yeah.
Now, when you go there and meet some of the people that you work with, outside of buying their products, is there anything else that you are involved in that is continuing to help them grow their business? You know, kind of, maybe are there other elements by which you help them to become better business people?
We like to look at our partners in Philippines exactly like that, as partner, mm-hmm. and not just as a supplier of products. And the reason for that is we are very involved in that sense, that we get very close to them. And we want to act as their partner to help their brand grow globally, so to grow outside of Philippines. So in that sense, we're more like business partner, and, you know, we help sometimes with giving tips or advice on designing the products, the quality of the products, those type of things, and how to, you know, conduct business in a way that, you know, it makes sense for us as well in the North American context. But we, you know, they do amazing work in Philippines, like socially, and we trust them with that very, very strongly. And for us, the best way to really help them is to grow our business and get more products from them at the same time. So like by us growing and helping them reach a global market internationally, it allows them to grow and scale their impact locally.
Today's episode is brought to you by Arch Street Press and Mindful Eating for the Beloved Community. Mindful Eating for the Beloved Community is a transformative collection of essays that provide a thoughtful and engaging way to revolutionize how and what we eat. Written by a diverse group of chefs, nutritionists, and food activists, Mindful Eating offers pragmatic strategies to rebuild the connections between diet, culture, faith, the environment, and community well-being, with a focus on the deep connection between mindful eating, social justice, and sustainability. Mindful Eating for the Beloved Community, available now from Arch Street Press.
Would you, just for the purposes of our audience, help us understand or kind of describe the work of two or three suppliers that you'd like to highlight? Of course, I realize I don't want to ask you to choose a favorite because that would be unfair. But perhaps two or three suppliers that have kind of stuck in your mind, and would you tell us what is it about them that has impressed you the most?
Okay, yeah. So we have a partner called, their brand is Olivia and Diego. So this social enterprise is based in the southern part of Philippines in Davao. So their product is jewelry, upcycled from old t-shirts. Hmm. The reason they do that is because, North America, Europe, we're sending so much donated clothing to, other countries that even if it's free, they don't know what to do with it, and it ends up in the landfill. There's just too much clothing donation happening. So they just had this idea, okay, let's make jewelry out of clothing, sure, secondhand clothing. So that's great environmental impact. At the same time, the products are handmade by women artisans, mostly coming from kind of a rough background, sex trade or sex trafficking. So those women have been through a lot of hardships. And it's kind of providing them with income to really provide for themselves on their own through making that jewelry. So for me, what I really like about that social enterprise is, you know, there's a strong eco aspect, but there's a strong impact on the artisan as well. So it's like the full cycle in a way. It's really like one of the best examples of like the full social enterprise of people, planet, together. And the other one is called Acaba. So one thing about the Philippines is they have a strong tradition of textile, and they have a lot of indigenous group that have for centuries woven amazing textile. It is unfortunately not very valued on the market. They can barely sustain their craft. This is a very traditional craft for mostly women, and it is extremely hard because they don't have access to a market really for their beautiful weaves. So what they do, Acaba, is they source those weaves in various communities on various islands of Philippines and kind of incorporate those weaves into very modern designs, so backpacks or bags, accessories. And so it's kind of a combination of newer kind of fashion accessories using traditional indigenous designs and traditional indigenous weaves, and they're paying two or three times those artisans what they're being paid typically when they sell to other markets. So it's a great way of reviving a craft that was about to die. And they do amazing products that are beautiful. Yeah.
Now, how are you able to translate some of the preferences of the consumers that you sell to here to the folks there?
So one thing about the Philippines is we work with those social enterprises, and they They are based mostly out of Manila, which is actually a very, very modern city, a cosmopolitan city. And the Philippines has a strong connection with social media, but also with the rest of the world. And they are aware of trends. They are aware of what's happening in North America. Like they are aware of everything. And there's already a strong sense from them of what's in trend and what's in fashion internationally. So already the Philippines, being in this one of their two their second language really is English, and they for that reason they are very well connected to the US, to Canada, and know very well about that. But for us, what we've started doing at Cambio and Co. is we do a lot of in-person events and markets. And we do sell the products online, but by doing markets in person, that really allows us to get feedbacks from consumer and understand what people like just by seeing them. You know, are they touching it? What are they looking at? What is their feedback? So doing those markets as in the last couple years have really helped us gauging more what the consumer wants. Mm.
A big part of your business is obviously in finding the right partners, you know, who can supply materials. With the distance that you have between Canada and Philippines, and you had mentioned you go there about once a year, how are you able to constantly nurture and find suppliers who could continue to be a part of Cambio Market?
Again, social media is quite something. So Instagram, I would say, is one of the main sources where we find those beautiful products. Instagram allows a very visual way of connecting with those social enterprises in Philippines, and they're very strongly active on Facebook and Instagram. So that's one way. And as well, you know, on a day-to-day, we stay in touch with our partners on Facebook. We just stay connected online, I would say, quite a bit. And that's where we find them, yeah.
And when someone is interested in doing business with you, how do you then ensure everything about them, starting with quality, you know, their ethics, their social mission? How do you make sure that all of that fits in with your larger mission?
Yeah, there's a big element, you know, of research, which I spoke about already. But the great thing by now is we have built quite a network. There's the people that we, having been there a couple times, we have contacts, even if they're not within our existing suppliers. We've met many people involved in social enterprise sphere. And it is very common for us to say, oh, you know, have you heard of that person? Have you heard of that company? And have you heard of their social work? And more we're able to kind of vet those companies in that way. So using our network, I think, is very important. The reason we also do those interviews with the founders before we add them on our website is it's not just understanding what the social enterprise sells as products or understanding what they do, but it's also understanding their reason why. Mm-hmm. When you talk to the founder and you want to understand what's their inner motivation, if they're there for the money and the social impact is nice to have, then it's different than if, you know, if the social impact is really what drives them. So it's trying to understand their reason why, and often that leads us to understand a lot more about why they built their business that way.
So speak to us a bit about your business model. It's a fair trade business, but obviously the two of you and all of the infrastructure supporting the business has to get supported. What is the business model with which you work with these suppliers?
So it's a fairly traditional business model of retailer, in the sense that but the way we work is we buy those products up front. Typically, they do have discounts because we do order in larger quantities than if we were to just order one product. But we do get some kind of a discount, but then we order in large quantity, and then we bring it to Canada, and then that's up to us to kind of add a markup for the Canadian market, mm-hmm. and then sell it essentially. But they decide the price that they want to sell it to, and that's at that point it's up to us to see is there a market. You know, sometimes it's just not possible, and it's more of a thing, you know, maybe in Canada that kind of product at that price wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. But there's you know, there's one thing you cannot cut. It's how much the artisan is being paid, and that's why for us, like, it's at the core of what we do. Yeah.
Now, as you do this, do you plan to just sell in Canada, or are you also thinking about, you know, other countries? After all, you know, this is a virtual business, and yeah. So technically anyone could buy from anywhere, right?
Yeah, exactly. So at Cambio & Co., our mission really is to share the talent of Filipino craftsmanship mm-hmm. around the world. So it doesn't stop with Canada. And we want to offer this platform to those Filipino socially conscious brands to reach the international market. And at the same time, our goal is also for consumers around the world to learn about those great products from Philippines and have access to it easily. So sure. We already are selling to Canada and US quite a bit. So that's been growing. This is our two main markets, but right. Yeah, we're available in Europe. We're available in Central South America and Australia mm-hmm. and, you know, we've developed kind of the logistics to allow us to ship everywhere, because for us, it's about sharing those stories everywhere. We think this story is kind of unknown in a way. I don't think a lot of people know that there's a strong social enterprise movement in Philippines, and mm-hmm. really we want to share it with everyone. Yeah.
Now, speak to us about the evolving market that is coming around the ethical lifestyle. So, you know, fair trade, ethical lifestyles. This seems to be a market that has developed in the last few years, or at least come to prominence in the last few years. Where do you see this market going?
There's been quite a lot of growth. I think where it's going, that's an excellent question. I think consumers, a millennial, I would say, more and more are aware of those trends and are also more looking for stories. And I think it's not that they only look for stories from ethical brands, but they're looking for products that are more meaningful in general, more mm-hmm. unique. And maybe that means products, you know, handmade in Canada. But whatever the story of the product, which is either an ethical brand or not, I think they want more than what they can find in a fast fashion brand where something is commoditized around and where thousands of people will have the same products. I think people are really looking for things that are unique, and that's what we're trying to give them. And that's where I'm seeing it going. Like, even, for example, one thing we did a few months ago is we organized a pop-up in Toronto. But it was more than just selling products. We partnered with a Filipino chef to have Filipino food at our pop-up. There was a little bit of education. We had, like, telling people about the Filipino weaves and the photos of our artisans, and people could eat and they could shop at the same time. And that is, I think that's where the ethical landscape is going, is there more and more there we're going to be able as brand to offer stories that are much more unique. And it's about spreading awareness to consumer, to the young consumer that are looking for those stories.
Tell me the origins of your name.
So Cambio and Co. So Cambio is a Spanish word. Me and my partner have traveled many times in South America, and we just really like that word in the sense that it means change. It means change in Spanish. And what really, why we think of change is we want to change how business is done. We want to change how consumers shop. We want to change, you know, what it means to be a retailer, and we want the business world to be different in a way. And that's why the word Cambio has such a strong meaning. We were initially called Cambio Market, just because we're a market of product, but we've recently renamed to Cambio and Co. As we were thinking the market kind of have a signification sometimes that people think, oh, it's just a bunch of different products, it's kind of market. But in a sense, Cambio and Co. represents more what we are, more on the fashion side. But it also represents collectivity, being there together, community, collaboration, because we don't work alone. We're not just Cambio, because we're Cambio and Co. because we work with social enterprise in Philippines, and they're part of us. We wouldn't be a business without those social enterprises. So it's... one is needed for the other, so sure. That's where we're Cambio and Co.
What's next for Cambio and Company? What do you see happening in the next 2 to 5 years?
So we want this idea that Filipino craftsmanship to become more global, for people to know more that the high quality of products coming from Philippines and from Filipino artisans too, because in a way it's being undervalued even by a lot of Filipino themselves. So we want to change that conception and kind of prove that Filipino products can be popular globally the same way as, you know, for example, Italian is famous for their craftsmanship. So that's a big thing for us. We want to scale our impact, be able to measure our impact better. It's sometimes hard because we're far, but we want to be able to measure more our impact so that our consumers know more about what we do and how much people it impacts directly. So for example, that would allow us to get closer to a B Corp certification and those kind of things. We want to grow and share that story really outside of Canada and more in the US and internationally. So grow our presence internationally for sure.
So one last question. If there are listeners listening to this podcast and they want to get involved with you in some shape or form, I know that your partners currently are in the Philippines, but if there are people around the globe, is there a role for non-Filipino partners to play in helping Cambio and Co? And if there is, what could they do?
Essentially, we just want to create a global movement for ethical goods to become more popular. So, you know, when people work on those kind of business model internationally, and, you know, if are those products from Kenya, are those products from Indonesia? And I think as ethical retailer, as ethical brands, it's more about us working together, right? And to bring a collaboration and share story. And I think one of the big thing that is the hardest really is to reach the consumer, and it's to share our marketing ability. So we're always looking at collaboration, just to share awareness and share our stories between our brand and other brands. So we're always willing to collaborate with other people in our field. Yeah.
Well, Jerome, thank you so much for taking time to spend with us. And at Innovate Podcast, we're grateful for your time and for the involvement that you have in social entrepreneurship and for everything that you do, helping entrepreneurs succeed through Cambio and Co. We hope you'll come back and join us again.
Thank you very much for the opportunity of sharing our story.
Thank you for joining us today. Our library of interviews and a range of further resources are available at our website, innovatepodcast.org. Aspire and Innovate are produced in partnership with Ashoka, Innovators for the Public, the Kellogg Fellows Leadership Alliance, the Philadelphia Social Innovations Journal, and by Arch Street Press for PRX, the Public Radio Exchange.